Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, coming to you from the eastern plains of Colorado. Son Daniel, also in studio with me. And this is the Generations broadcast, so it makes sense that my son should be in proximity. My father sends me much of my content. Daniel's been editing the program for some 7-8 years now, and occasionally he winds up in studio with me. Also, Ray Suzuki is in studio, too. He's doing some of the technical aspects of the program. And as we report on the decline of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom, another story comes to us from the Daily Mail Reporter out in the UK, and this reports on what's happening here in America. We have reported on the fact that the nuclear family in America is now in minority status and has been for about 3 years. Now, this story indicates that not just the nuclear family in minority status as a percentage of American households, but now married couples in minority status as well. Married couples are in the minority in America for the first time. In last year's U.S. Census, married couples represented 48% of all households, down from 52% a decade earlier. Meanwhile, the number of opposite-sex couples living together rather than marrying jumped 13% from 2009. In just 1 year, friends, in just 1 year, the shack-up rate has increased another 13%, and we are up about 700% since 1970, which means, friends, this is the decline of the family. You want to know what a civilization looks like as it collapses, as it disintegrates? That's what's going on right now. So it's interesting watching this happening a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization. Friends, as the fathers, as guys trying to salvage something for future generations, we've got to be aware of what's going on around us. Otherwise, it seeps in under the carpet, it seeps in under the doors, and before you know, it's affecting our churches, it affects our schools, it affects the way we educate our children, it affects the way our children are socialized in colleges, and before you know it, they're all part of the same thing. They're not getting married, they're not having children, they have no vision for the future, which is effectively what's going on with the population around us. By the way, according to this story, in the next 20 years, the number of married people in the UK is expected to drop to 41% from 49%. So we're still in free fall. Still in free fall. That's in the UK. And I'm guessing the same thing's going to happen here. In other words, the UK is pretty much tracking us in terms of the percentage of households that have married couples living in those households. And that percentage dropping to 41% in the next 10 years, according to this article from the UK. Also, UK Daily Mail, here's another interesting story. Video games being blamed for divorce as men prefer World of Warcraft to their wives. I guess the World of Warcraft is more interesting than their wives.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's more women filing for divorce and complaining that their husbands spend too long playing video games. Of these wives who cite unreasonable behavior for ending their marriage, 15% believe their partners put gaming before them.
That's not surprising. It's video games are huge.
They are huge.
Everybody, it's huge on YouTube.
You may remember Everybody we visited plays a, video games. A random family down in Elbert, what, like 4 or 5 years ago. You remember we'd visit the family, and the wife was making the meal, the kids were playing with you guys, and what was the father doing?
He was playing World of Warcraft.
He was playing something. I don't know if it was World of Warcraft.
Yeah, it was.
It was World of Warcraft?
I remember. Yeah,
it was a fantasy
It was World of Warcraft.
It was World of Warcraft. You're
he was questing.
Me.
Yeah,
and remember, I made this guy die. He was a little upset with me because I was trying to talk to him about stuff, and his guy died, and then he had to turn around and face me.
Oh, that would
it was
be
a
rough.
Relational moment with the neighbor. So, okay, this woman interviewed, she's blaming her husband's obsession for the breakdown of their marriage. Jessica Ellis from London said he was addicted to World of Warcraft, but played other games now and then. The amount he was playing gradually increased until I could take it. I couldn't take it anymore. When it became serious, he was playing up to 8 hours a day. I was constantly trying to get him to cut back, but he didn't think he had a problem until I told him he wanted to leave. But by that time, it was too late, which is normally the way it is for the breakup of these marriages. Well, in just a moment, friends, we want to talk about computer games. Because this is a major phenomenon in the modern day, and my son is a resident expert.
Wait, is that good or bad?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know, son. But Daniel's done a little bit of research on this, and we're going to talk about what's happening with computer games. Are we at the end of an empire? At the end of the empire, the cry is bread and games. Bread and games. That was the end of the Roman Empire, and that may be the end of this one, too. Be back in just a moment to talk about computer games and what it's doing to us. Folks, believe it or not, this is our 8th year on the air. Our first broadcast was October 3rd, 2003. From the beginning, we produced the program as a commercial endeavor, and then 2 years ago decided to rely entirely on listener support. And by God's grace, we're making some progress. But this is fundraising month. Each year, we target 100 sponsors to keep us on the air for one more year. And we're hoping that by God's grace, we will be on the air for one more year. If you find the ideas helpful on this program, if you receive some discipleship, some encouragement yourself, please consider supporting our program. We know that we have about 500,000 listeners a year from 80 countries around the world. We have people in Sweden, Ireland, Australia, England, many of whom have no other encouragement for the kind of ideas they get on this program. But they get it here on Generations. They're encouraged every day by what they hear on this radio broadcast from my basement out on the eastern plains of Colorado. So if you listen to the program or watch us, you know what we're all about. Family, fathers, freedom, faith, home-based discipleship, family-based economies, relationships in a cold and lonely world, worldview and discipleship, truth and relationships, a vision for future generations. That's what we're all about. And we are so privileged to get the very best speakers, pastors, fathers, Christian leaders in the country. Talk about worldview and family issues. Folks like Mike Farris, Ken Ham, Vody Bauckham, Al Mohler's been here, Paul David Tripp, R.C. Sproul, Phyllis Schlafly, David Noble, Tim Challies, Nancy Percy, Wayne Grudem, Sam Crabtree, and Dave. Dave Buhner, he's a regular on the program. Well, folks, we don't get a lot of psychobabble flim-flam on this program, because we don't want to raise up more weaky-weaky fruits for generations to come. Our desire is a vision that will cast for future generations and will encourage and inspire many generations and hopefully rebuild faith, family, and freedom during the breakdown of Western civilization. That's what we're doing out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. If you'd like to support the program, just simply go to our website, kevinswanson.com, and click on Support the Program and join our fundraising campaign for May. Our target is 100 sponsors for the month of May. 100 sponsors for the month of May at $10 a month, $20 a month, or $50 a month, or even a one-time donation. Friends, if you would like to support the program, kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, Son Daniel, also in studio. Today we want to talk about the breakdown of the family, but more specifically, the breakdown of society by means of games. Lots and lots of games. We have more games on the market than we had in the 1970s. I'm talking computer games, I'm talking fantasy games. In the 1970s, we were playing Pong. Pong. And it was Pong. It was hard to get addicted to Pong. In 1975, I didn't know anybody addicted to Pong in 1975. I mean, that was where you had the little ball going back and forth and you had to move the little thing up and down. Bink, 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 bink. Nobody I knew was addicted to Pong in 1970. Now, friends, video game addiction, computer game addiction, 1,000 times what it was in the 1980s. And now we're finding so many young men tied up in this thing. Dan, remember we were out at the Indiana conference, a week and a half ago, and I'm walking by one of the breakout rooms in the conference center. This is the Indianapolis Convention Center. And I'm heading down to the keynote, talking about the breakdown of civilization and, you know, the 70% of young men not grown up by 30 years of age. And yeah, right there, I see 1,000 young men. I mean, it was as far as I can see. 1,000 young men are playing a fantasy game involving some trading cards. I couldn't figure out the whole thing. I'd say that, you know, out of these 1,000 little boys, the average age was probably about 30.
Okay.
Most of them heavy set. I mean, they've got some weight, some serious weight. They've been sitting around for a while, I'd say, playing this game. And there were two girls.
Wow.
Wasn't exactly sure what the girls were there for.
There are girls who are geeks, too.
Yeah. Well, 1,000
well,
boys.
Very 0.01%.
1,000 boys in a couple of help meets trying to help with the vision.
Right.
And that is the vision for a lot of these guys. I mean, they are dedicated to these games.
Well, they have to be the best. And the only way to be the best is to live long enough to collect enough money so that you can collect enough cards so that you can be the best.
Wow.
And that's how it works.
So that's the idea. You think it's a competition orientation, huh?
Yeah. It's like a lot of games today, like Farmville, Pokemon, where you're always collecting. You got to collect. You got to get more cows. You have to collect more Pokemon characters so that at some point you're always collecting a little bit more each time. And so as you collect more, people just, they feel like they're accomplishing something. And so every time they pick up a new Pokemon or a new cow or whatever in Farmville.
Do they understand what they're collecting are little bites?
I don't know.
On a computer hard drive? I mean, they're getting,
then again,
they're getting like
their friends are too.
Instead of 1000100, they're getting 1001001. You know, that was it. They got one more bite.
Nice.
And that's all they got. And it got on some hard drive sitting in some warehouse in the middle of New York City. That's
they
what
better
they
hope
got.
It doesn't
that's
go down.
What they get. With Farmville. They spend money on Farmville.
Oh, wow.
I hear they're actually buy things. They spend money to buy land on this hard drive.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it's a competition against your friends, the only way to be better, I guess, is to spend money.
Mm-hmm. And there's 67 million people playing
something
Farmville.
Something like that, yeah. It might be even higher than that now.
67 million people playing Farmville.
Yeah, monthly.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, friends, it's a significant change happening right now. In fact, one of the questions that came to my mind, and I just typed this into the internet just a few minutes ago. Why aren't kids playing ball in the sandlots? That was my question, because I'm driving around Elizabeth, where we live, and I'm asking myself, where are the kids? I mean, this is
good
summer.
Question.
This is summer.
You're right. School's out.
School's out. Where are the kids? What are they doing in summertime? And I'm not seeing them playing the sandlots. In fact, I'm not finding any sandlots. I mean, there used to be sandlots. That's where you would play, you know, baseball.
Right.
Every summer, man, I was hitting the, after I did my chores and I did a few things that my parents wanted me to do. We had family worship and all that. And at, you know, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm trotting off to the sandlot. We're playing ball for the rest of the day until mom calls us back for dinner.
Right.
And so that's what we did in the 1960s, 1970s. But man, right now, nobody's playing in the sandlots. So here's what they're doing. They're playing ball. they're doing it with little...
Like this.
Yeah, like this. Yeah. He's waving his hand for those of
they're
you listening.
They're burning calories.
To the program. Yeah, and they do it with... what's the game?
Wii Sports.
Wii Sports. Yeah.
Wii Sports.
That's the most
Resort.
Ridiculous thing I think I've ever seen.
I have one.
I know you do.
I haven't played it.
And I tried it. We enjoyed that. I think we enjoyed that for about 20 minutes.
Nice.
I think you know, we picked up a Wii game deal, and for about 20 minutes, we enjoyed it, and then we said, this is dumb. We went outside and started kicking the ball around. Okay, that's what people are doing, friends. And this is what the kids are doing. This report actually compares minority kids to the white population in America. Not that that really matters, because it's not that much difference in what kids are doing during the summer hours. A recent Northwestern University report showed that the minority kids spend almost all their waking hours using mobile devices, computers, TVs, and other media. 4.5 hours more than white kids. Asian Americans come in at number one. They plugged in 13 hours and 13 minutes per day on average. I mean, Daniel, that is the whole day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole day.
I know.
13 hours
eating,
and 13 minutes
sleeping,
a day.
And...
Yeah, as long as they're awake, they're plugged in. Hispanics come in at number two. They tallied 13 hours, and blacks were number three at 12 hours and 59 minutes. Meantime, whites were plugged in just 8 hours and 36 minutes. Not like that's any real salvation for the whites. I mean, the fact of the matter is these kids, and we're talking 8 to 18 year olds in this study, are plugged in anywhere from 8 hours a day to 13 hours and 13 minutes a day. The minority youth watch TV and videos 1 to 2 hours more per day than whites, listen to music about an hour more, use the computer about an hour and a half more, and play video games about 30 to 40 minutes longer. Black and Hispanic kids are also very likely to have a TV in their bedroom and eat meals in front of the tube. Also, the Kaiser study, another study, says that over the past 5 years, cell phone ownership among 8 to 18-year-olds have increased 39% to 66%, while iPods has increased 18% to 76%, meaning they've got way, way, way more electronics today than they did just 10 years ago or 8 years ago. Way, way more electronics than they had back in 1992. Way, 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 way more electronics than they had back in 1976 when I was growing up, meaning that, and I interpret this to mean that your average kid today is 100 times more isolated in the electronic wilderness than your average kid was in the 1970s. 100 times more disconnected from relationships, 100 times more likely to have obesity and health problems, but they've got their bread in games. And that's where we are today. A lot of kids playing these games, Daniel. I mean, this is amazing. There, a lot of them are sitting in front of TVs all day long. And the reason, I think, is because they're trying to relieve their boredom.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is if you don't have any projects going, if your whole lifestyle, if everybody's lifestyle has become you play video games and that's what you do to connect with your friends, you know, Call of Duty, Black Ops, or StarCraft, or all the games that use a lot of online, it's about competing with your friends.
Whoever your friends are. Yeah. Do they know who their friends are?
I don't know.
I was playing World of Warcraft, okay? That remember the guy
you
saw playing World
of
Warcraft about 5-6 years ago? He I don't know if he knew the people he was playing with. I mean, they were in Australia, New Zealand, and they're all over the world.
He's kind of proud of that fact that he knew people from all over the world.
Yeah. From all over the world. They have false names, they have false personalities,
right.
They have false relationships. These aren't real relationships.
But we don't want reality anymore.
Yeah. I mean, this guy didn't want to spend a whole lot of time with his wife. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, that particular marriage didn't make it either. I'm not sure about that. But it's not unusual, friends, for these relationships to break up because these people are far more plugged into the electronic escapistic universe of the electronic world. This goes all the way back, though, to the 1600s. A guy named Montaigne was writing this, and this comes from Ken Meyer's book, All God's Children in Blue Suede Shoes, Pop Culture. Montaigne wrote, "Variety always solaces, dissolves, scatters. By changing place, occupation, company, I escape into the crowd of other thoughts and diversions where it loses my trace and leaves me safe." In other words, he's always looking for diversion, diversion, diversion. He wants diversion in order to be safe from relationship. He doesn't want to be all that involved in other people's lives. Blaise Pascal, who everybody knows is the guy behind much of what we know in mathematics, Pascal had concerns about this as early as the 1600s. He says that men were very, very involved in so many different things. All the unhappiness of men arises from one single fact, that they cannot stay quietly in their own chamber. They have a secret instinct which impels them to seek amusement and occupation abroad, and which arises from the sense of their constant unhappiness. In this case, they had to go abroad for it, Daniel, which means they had to get in a ship and travel, or they had to get on a horse and ride for about 18 hours to get to where they wanted to go in order to involve themselves in amusements and diversions and other things. And yet today, we can just get on the internet, click, 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 and we are enjoying as much diversion as we
put
can
on,
possibly
put in
enjoy.
A different video game disc, and
yeah,
we are in a totally different world. Really.
Just pop into another fantasy world. In fact, you don't even have to be in this world. You can go to other worlds, which may be the diversions that people want to seek after today.
Right. Reality's pretty boring overall.
What are the most popular games people are playing?
So probably the biggest, some of the most popular are definitely like Pokemon.
Pokemon, that was back in the 80s and 90s.
It's still huge.
What do you mean? That's
the
Japanese
biggest
thing.
Selling game this year,
actually. It was your pocket monster.
Yeah,
it's still
in your pocket.
You can have your own little pocket Deem. I thought they might ought to come up with Pokedeem. They could have their own little demon
little
friend.
Demon friend.
Yeah. But what is Pokemon? What do they do?
Pokemon is just a game where you go around, you explore this little world on your little handheld device, and you walk around and you try to collect Pokemons. And so you could finish the game really quickly, or you can go around and explore the entire world looking for every single little Pokemon you can. And I think that's what
dumb.
It is about.
It sounds dumb.
It's just you're collecting and you compare yourself to your friends.
What do you collect?
You collect little Pokemon, these little monsters. These little Pokemon monsters.
So somebody's out there just making them?
Constantly? So, like, they're on the little map, and you go out, and I haven't really played it, but you go out and you fight the little monsters, and then if you win, I think you get to collect the monster or something like that. And then they just keep on coming out with new ones, like Pokemon Yellow.
And so,
and
this is one of
the ones, Pokemon Black, White.
This is one of the most popular games out there.
Yeah, it was the most, it sold the most.
Meaning
least.
What? We're talking tens of millions?
Yeah, we're talking, I think 3.5 million in the United States.
In the United States, yeah, but it might be all, just in this year?
Yeah.
You know what's interesting, Daniel, is I've been at a couple of homeschool graduations. I've talked to a couple of groups of young men and young women over the last couple of months, and it's amazing. This is the first time in my life this has happened. I've had multiple conversations with people. I'm talking 5 or 6 conversations with young men whose goal in life is to produce more computer games.
Hey.
Or the graphics for those games.
It's a good business.
That's where the market is.
Everybody's there.
That's where the market is. I mean, think about living in 425 Rome. I mean, what's the business? What do you do in 425 Rome?
You go to the Colosseums,
yeah, and you sponsor some of the gladiators. Now, back then, you couldn't create a ferocious-looking gladiator using incredible graphics and then pretend like it's a real thing. Back then, of course, the whole gladiator thing was a pretend thing. They would actually have, believe it or not, they would have entire battles with real men.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest battles they have 5,000 men coming down. They even have fake little lakes down in the Colosseum, and they'd have these ships crossing the lake, and then the people, you know, all the gladiators would jump out and start attacking, and they would fight, you know, a pretend battle where people really got killed, but it was a pretend battle. And it was fun. People had a good time watching all the bloodshed. It was great fun for these people. But of course it was a form of escape, and they wanted to escape the reality. And the reality was the fact that you had the hordes coming into Rome, and even as the hordes took down Rome, there were people in the Colosseum that were enjoying the games, and there was so much screaming and yelling and applauding in the Colosseum, they did not have opportunity to hear what was going on outside, which was the fact that the hordes were coming in, raping and pillaging the city of Rome. So that was what was going on in the Roman Empire. I'm guessing that's what's going to happen here too. It seems like that's the direction we're headed here.
Yeah,
because there's so many people escaping reality.
I know. Incredible.
It's incredible. It's way more than what was happening back in the 1980s and 1990s. Although, you know, guys have always enjoyed their games.
Sure. Yeah, golf has always been huge.
Sure.
Marriages are destroyed just by golf, not just video games.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. No question about it.
It's just selfishness of man.
Yeah, it is.
Really.
It's guys just being all consumed with themselves. Being consumed with themselves, yes, but I think also wanting the diversions. Wanting to have some fun. You know, I would think that these escapistic games after a while would be boring. Yeah. Wouldn't you think these guys be bored to death? I mean, the 67 million guys playing World of Warcraft, at some point, aren't they saying, what am I doing? This is boring.
I think so, yeah.
But they don't?
No, they're addicted to it. They can't stop. Yeah. They have to constantly be, you know, you have to get up to the next level. You have to be better than that guy. You have to be better than the guy on your friend list. You have to constantly be getting better and better. And that's like behind Call of Duty. It's huge. People are addicted to Call of Duty. A lot of people, I think the article referenced Call of Duty as well as World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And Call of Duty is just huge because you're always trying to level up and you're competing against your friends in Call of Duty. And you just go around and you go out and you kill people, really. And you're fulfilling kind of a manly dominion thing.
But
where you go out into war.
A false form of dominion.
And there's a lot of games like that.
And you know what? I mean, sports has always been the opportunity to prepare for warfare. And men have been given to warfare. And men are aggressive. And they are able to fight and hopefully defend their own children and their own families. But imagine, Daniel, if you had a guy sitting around playing Call of Duty, and he's just click, click, clicking, doing his Call of Duty thing. And his sister is brutally attacked outside of his window. Okay. So get the picture here. He's click clicking and he's winning all kinds of wars and battles. Meantime, you've got kids being slaughtered in the streets. All right. You got babies being aborted everywhere. You've got his little sister being brutally attacked on the streets and being ripped apart by a gang of thugs. Meantime, he glances outside, sees what's going on outside, and then he continues his Call of Duty. But it's not really the Call of Duty, because the Call of Duty would be go outside and and respond to another Call of Duty. But see, the problem with that is that's reality, and he's not plugged into reality.
He might get hurt.
Oh, he might get an owie. Yeah, he might get an owie.
That'd be a problem.
Yeah, as opposed to maybe a little calloused on his thumb as he works his little joystick thing or whatever. Yeah, then that's the problem, of course, is these guys aren't really engaging with reality. And for that reason, friends, we've got men who are going to be eaten alive and their families destroyed and our freedoms destroyed as well, because these guys are playing games while Rome is burning and while we're losing our freedoms and while the faith is dissipating. We've got guys just playing games. Now, as it turns out, the Bible doesn't have a whole lot to say about games. I mean, Paul, you know, check out like 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the book of Romans. I'm not really catching a whole lot of Paul playing games. He did say that bodily exercise profits a little. So we have one little, bodily exercise profits a little. So that's what, five words Paul dedicates in the entire New Testament to the issue of games. Jesus refers to little children piping and dancing. We have that. We have a reference to that. So there must be some children playing. And then Paul says at some point you've got to give up childish things. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So I'm not seeing David playing World of Warcraft prior to bringing Goliath down.
Probably not. I don't see that happening.
What's he doing? He's killing lions and bears.
Yeah.
On World of Warcraft.
No.
Okay.
No, he's
there,
actually
these are real,
real
lions
and
like
bears.
With the big teeth and the claws that
I don't know. And you don't have any extra lives, so it's actually it's a little more dangerous.
No extra lives, yeah, exactly. That's a drawback of reality.
Again.
No extra lives. Good point, son.
Major problem,
yeah. David had no extra lives as he killed the lion and the bear, engaged in his family's economy, and I think that's key. Daniel, I think what's happening is we don't have family economies going on. Maybe we have way, way too much time for leisure. And people don't understand that if you don't work, you die. And they think that we're going to be able to spend ourselves into $600 trillion of debt while we graduate most of our homeschool youth to go out and work on producing more computer games. And in the end, everybody gets to eat. They get all the bread. They get all the games they want. The problem is somebody's got to produce the bread.
Somebody has to pay the piper, too.
Yep, yep, exactly. And that time's soon to come. It's interesting. Also, Augustine talked a little bit about his experience with the games and the theater. In Confessions, and this is one of the only references we can find in some of Christian writings on the whole idea of games. There's actually very, very little you can find in Christian history about games. For one thing, most people didn't really have a whole lot of games for about 1,500 years of world history until you get to the 1880s, 1890s, when you begin to see sports make its comeback. And, of course, the Olympics came back in, the early part of the 1900s. So the modern age has just sort of repeated what was going on during the fall of the Roman Empire. And we have way, way more games today. Augustine said he used to get really emotional over make-believe tragedies. Later on in his Confessions, he said that was really stupid, because what these things do and what the pretend tragedies do for you is create a lot of useless emotion within you. It dampens your emotions or your compassion for true life tragedies, and it effectively disconnects you from reality. So when you do express a little emotion, it's usually very superficial emotion, because you've been so plugged into these escapistic stories for so long, you're not living in true reality, and you're incapable of showing halfway decent emotion and compassion for people who are actually going through real tragedy.
Because you've already seen it all before.
Yeah.
100 times.
Yeah.
You've seen somebody die.
Here's one more question I have, Daniel, for you. You think that these games give these men huge satisfaction? I mean, the average teen, you know, you meet the average teen walking out of Walmart. You're thinking, boy, now there's a happy, fulfilled young man.
It's pretty rare.
Yeah. You know what? They're glum. They're glazed over. They're disconnected. They don't know what's going on. Well, friends, here's a few questions to ask if you're going to be involved in playing these games. I'm not saying it's wrong to play games. Don't take that away from today's edition of the Generations Broadcast. What I'm saying is you've got to be sure that you're doing it rightly. I mean, bodily exercise profiteth a little. Hey, here's one question. Are you getting fat?
No, they have
that would
games,
be a bad sign.
They have games now that keep you from getting fat.
Yeah. In fact, some of them are more popular.
I know. So, actually, okay. Some of the really popular games are like Kinect Adventures. And
Daniel, to our credit, we were playing a game last Thursday. You remember? It was a Friday. I can't remember if it was Thursday or Friday, but we were throwing the frisbee around the field. We were running around like madmen and mad women, just getting a little exercise playing ultimate frisbee. That's a game. That's a game. Couple questions to ask friends if you're playing games, if you're introducing games to your family. Here are the questions. Number one, is it addictive? And is it becoming addictive to your children? If it is, hey, you're not supposed to be addicted to anything. You're not supposed to be under the control of anything. That's what Apostle Paul says. Why? Because we are under the control of the Spirit of God, and we worship God alone, and we're not going to turn anything into an idol. Okay, that's number one. Is it addictive? Second question, is it keeping you from other priorities? All right, if you're engaged 13 hours a day with video games, my guess is you're not really contributing to the family economy. And that's probably what's going on in the lives of a lot of these kids. So, okay, if there's a few other things you ought to be doing, get involved in some of those other things. Third question, is it helping you build relationships, or are you becoming more isolated from your family? There's a big one, huh, Daniel? I mean, let's face it. Sometimes you get too plugged into that computer, and you're thinking, now, wait a minute. My relationships with my siblings, my relationship with my parents, with my children, I mean, these things are not really progressing very well.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't take as much work in all these games and these entertainment, YouTube, videos, movies. It's a lot easier to do because it fulfills a desire. It fulfills a fleshly desire, really, to be full of yourself and to really appreciate yourself.
And that brings up the last question. Is it edifying and encouraging you in the real battles of life? Or are you becoming a spiritual couch potato at the same time? You're sort of a physical couch potato. So is it breaking you down physically? Is it breaking you down in terms of your relationships? Is it breaking you down spiritually? Now, if those books you're reading, if those fantasy novels, those movies, those games you're playing are encouraging you to engage the real battles of life and really building you up spiritually, then I'd say go for it. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like a good resource to sort of, I don't know, infuse a little vision into your life, my encouragement is to grab a copy of our Visionary Manhood CD set or MP3 set available at kevinswanson.com. We've got some great, great presentations here to sort of wake up the average male who's not really engaged with the real issues of life. We've got 7 presentations on this collection called Visionary Manhood, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. Again, just hit resources or the store and do a search for Visionary Manhood, and you'll be benefited by this. It's time for our males to grow up, get a vision in life, and hopefully get involved and build some family economies and start salvaging a little faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century. So grab that resource, Visionary Manhood, at kevinswanson.com, where you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation. Hey, thanks, Dan, for joining.